Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gil, do you mean to tell me that Exo Primal is anything other than a weird dino crisis? What the hell are they doing?
I do indeed. Believe it or not, I'm on the Dino Express, my friend. I'm loving it. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe I've just gone completely crazy in my time over at the Future Game Show, but I have completely fallen in love with this game that I was very ready to hate. And I, like, apologies, same. Capcom, like, out there, I know that they've been hitting it out of the park recently. And yeah, like, it goes all the way back to like Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. We've got like the Resident Evil 4 remake. We've got all of like these amazing titles that they've kicked out. The RE2 games are just like amazing.
Street Fighter 6, baby.
Yeah, everything that they've been touching recently has turned to solid gold. But Everyone was expecting it to be that moment in Jurassic Park when Jeff Goldblum says, like, that's a lot of excrement about the giant Stegosaurus turd.
Yes.
But Exo Primal surprised me. It's a PvEvP game, because the fact, like, it blew my mind. Like, imagine trying to summarize what it is on like a post-it note. It is a hero shooter against waves of dinosaurs that are controlled by a rogue AI that teleports you back in time in order to fight in an arena with exosuits that it's made for you that you can change on the fly. And at the end of the battle, you then fight another team that's also been trying to complete the same objectives. It is mad.
It's about as mad as their marketing cycle, because I feel like no one even really knows that it's out. It's not out just yet, but it's out very soon.
Yeah,
it's out like across July. It's just weird because the open beta has been out for a week or so. We're not sponsored by it or anything. It's just weird mentioning it because I feel like the response to it was so mixed to negative. And I'm having a dino crisis trying to get on board with it.
I like that. That was good. That was good. I'm big fan.
But I think learned from the best.
A lot of people wanted it to be Dino Crisis. Whenever anyone was like, oh, Capcom dinosaurs, it's got to be Dino Crisis. Where is our Dino Crisis remake? And as much as I really hope that they do address that further down the line, I am so weirdly enamored with this game. It plays really well. It looks great. It does send my PC into orbit when it goes on, so maybe the optimization needs a little bit of work. It seriously sounds like somebody snuck like a jet into my room. And this is a pretty top-end PC that we're playing on. But the combat is so fluid and fun. The PvP twist at the end is great. The concept of the story is giving me Vanquish vibes, and you know how much I love that game.
Oh, what?
Because think about it this way, like, Vanquish was what? Hello, I am a Russian, and I have taken over a space station, and I am going to fire a death laser at you. Like, that is the premise of Vanquish, and you get sent there with a suit that you can slide around the floor and shoot robots in the face. It is absolute chaos.
This is
basically the same team that have just gone, yeah, but what if we sent you back in time in exosuits and you fought dinosaurs? But the dinosaurs also made a fuel that we need to drain in order to fuel our suits. It's mad. It's just mad.
I hate that you made me care about this thing.
Can we play it together?
Maybe we can. On PlayStation, I've only got on PS5. So if you're on PC, we're on from two different worlds.
I don't think it's cross-gen.
Maybe that's cross-gen.
But I'll tell you what, if there wasn't, that wasn't the only way to sell it. Do you remember that there was that point where it was like a trailer dropped for Exo Primal? No one knew what it was. And it showed a robotic Guile and a robotic Ryu. And everyone was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Street Fighter 6 is getting like crazy DLC straight away. And it's like, no, this is for the actual certified crazy game, because you can do like Hadoukens to the dinosaurs. And that is a moment that they need to have. I tell you what it makes me feel like.
Go on.
Dead Rising 3. Do you remember when it released that Hyper Yes. Mega Ultra Super Special XD Pack or whatever it was called?
Yeah, just taking the mick out of their own titling
systems. That's what it is. This is the same vibe, but stretched out into a game. It's got a single player. I need to see what this is about.
If this game has way more banter in it than they've let... Because it just looked like Live Service 101. It just looked like the most generic, you know, like...
Don't get me wrong.
Thing.
I am fully prepared to be completely disappointed when I go onto the right. multiplayer menu and find that I can't join five games without spending 15 quid for tokens or something. I feel like it will have some nefarious oily practice. But as it stands right now with the beta, I had such a laugh that I was like... This is amazing fun, but I will say there is a proviso to this.
Okay.
And that is if you're playing single player, you can get in the bin. No one was talking when I was playing. The team, you need to stick together. You need to have like a tank, a healer, or a support sort of thing. And if there's no communication, you are dying straight away. And it's just like, ooh, okay. And like there's an emotes wheel that you can use to like call for help and like signal where the objective is. But it's got a weird delay on it. So when I was playing it, I was like trying to like say to my team, like, over here. And I was like, okay, open the radial menu, select that. 1 second, 2 second, now the emotion, now the emote is starting. And by that time, if you're being swarmed by dinosaurs, you're dead. So I'm just a bit like, ooh, lads, come on,
just
please.
As you get mauled alive. Like, please, can someone find me?
I will say the highlight of the entire thing, though, is that you go to this, we went to one objective. There was like a flag, basically. You needed to just capture the flag, secure it for your team. And you're just there, and this portal opens up in the distance. And the team members are all like, what is that? And out of the portal, streams what could... Do you remember the krill from Gears of War? The giant like bat creatures that like float in like a big sort of like a single organism? Mm-hmm. It's that, but it's pterodons. They're flying towards you in such high numbers and they fly through you to deal damage. They like smack into you. And it's just madness because you're just there like shooting this entire wave of unending pterodons. You're like... Ah! It's just...
I don't... This is like some... what's that? Human defense... Earth Defense Force kind of thing?
The amount of waves
of enemies coming at you. I just... Yeah, when we set up the recording and stuff, we started talking about Exoprimal. I've not played it yet, but you were so happy about it that I just thought we had to steer into this weird-looking game.
It's just very silly. Like, I imagine it's going to be a 6 or 7 out of 10 game, and that is exactly... Right. You and I... That's our wheelhouse, mate. We know... We champion the 6 and 7 out of 10s.
I thought that's what the AW game was going to be. And
it's
more of a 5 or a 4,
oh,
I would say.
No,
it's
that's
pretty
a shame.
Bad. I need to spend more time with it, though. I need to play a lot more of it. It's so janky. It's so glitchy and buggy.
Oh, man.
It's so unresponsive.
Because I watched the OSW. By the way, this is the UBP, the UBP, the UBP. Yes. I probably should have said that at the very beginning.
The UBP! I was going to do that whole thing. I was like, I'm Scott Tilford, that's Jules Gill.
Hello, hello, hello. And let's quickly talk about AEW. I watched the review that OSW put out for it. So it was like, it was... Them and Matt McMuscles were talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And they sounded like it was really positive. It was really, really fun.
Oh, it's weird, man, because they've done this whole thing where they're like, oh, it's just like No Mercy. It's just like the old school games. And it's trying to be, but... Back then, we always had issues with collision detection, with like run speeds, with run responsiveness.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back and play the old SmackDown games now, or even if you go further back and play No Mercy, they are more polished than this game is.
Oh,
like,
really? Oh,
there are so many issues here. Like, you're trying to break up a pin and the hit just doesn't connect. You're trying to grapple someone and they just grapple through them. You're trying to climb the ladder and you fall through the middle of it. Yeah. Like, it's not a complete glitch fest, but there's a lot in there. And like, my first match ended in count out because my dude just wouldn't run towards the ring. He kept running away from it and along the side of it, and it's like I think they'll patch these things, but I just I don't think that they get to get away with like, well, it's like the old games. I'm like, old doesn't mean terrible. Old doesn't mean that it was bad. Like, we had the same, if you played SmackDown games back in the day, or it's more like the WCW games or the ECW games, those weird like attempts to
be
like
the mainstream. Revolution.
Hardcore Revolution, totally.
God, that game was
Backstage Revolution, whatever. Like, all those ones, if you played them, like, I had ECW Hardcore Revolution, they were nowhere near as responsive as the mainline SmackDown games, even back when it was SmackDown 1 or 2, and that's what the AEW game feels like. It's not No Mercy. It's more like an ECW Hardcore Revolution.
Oh, that's a shame, man, because I did have high hopes for it. I mean, I wanted a direct competitor for the WWE games, because it's only through having competition do you actually get better games. I would definitely say that, same with like the FIFA titles, same with anything that's got its like monopoly on the market, they become lazy, because who are they competing against? No one.
Totally.
They're like Thames Water, you know what I'm saying? They've got no competition, they go under.
Well, it's like with WWE, the last two have been pretty solid. Like, I think they have better mechanics in there for like playing to the crowd and like hype and getting like star ratings at the end,
but they're so
and having comebacks
and sluggish, though, those games. That's why I like the AEW one, because it looks speedy. Yeah. It looked like more immediate.
It is way more arcadey, and it's better on the hard mode because then you have to parry and you have to like block and reverse a lot more, and it feels like the flow of a match a bit. And it's not like I haven't had any fun with it. Like, I play as Hangman, I was up against Malakai, and I had a good match where like Malakai came back and did the spitting thing, did the mist to my face.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that was in the game, so I had to like deal with that in real time, almost like I was Hangman going like, oh my God, what? And then like managing to like pull that out the bag and get the victory. Like, there's a lot of things in there like that are fun. Like, Orange Cassidy does he has sloth style, so he puts his hands in his pocket. And they have loads
amazing.
Of like, they have like specific animations for him having his hands in his pockets, and you can do like Hurricane Ranas and stuff.
That's so cool.
So that stuff's great. You can tell the devs like do love AEW. It's just there's just something really missing for it at the minute. There's an extra layer of polish that would tighten everything up,
right?
At least be that sort of like fun arcadey thing. Because that's exactly what I want too. And like, there are pockets of it where it's fun enough, but it's just so underbaked. Like, it's just, even the Road to the Elite story mode was written by the dude that headed up SmackDown vs. Raw 2009.
Okay,
10.
Fair enough.
But he tweeted saying he did the whole thing in 10 months. And it's like, you can kind of tell, like, it's sort of
quite the turnaround.
Yeah. There's a lot of archive footage. There's a lot of very simple cutscenes backstage. It's kind of like SmackDown 2's story mode, where it's just sort of like two random characters come up. There's a text exchange.
Yeah,
and then
it, sort of thing.
Whatever.
The bare minimum.
So it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. It's like, it is a throwback. It is nostalgic, but it's also, it's really missing something. And I think for me personally, the amount of, it's fine because it's like the old stuff. I'm like, when was the last time you played them? Because they hold up way better. There's an assumption that old is bad, and it's not.
Because I will say that the WWE games will never be topped when it comes to their showcase modes. You know, when it's like playing as John Cena throughout all of his matches, or Rey Mysterio before.
Yeah.
Like, those are really good. They are. The way they integrate footage, real life archival footage.
I was going to say,
matches,
I quite like some of the new ones.
That's incredible. So AEW is going to have to do a lot if it's going to try and topple them for the single player experience.
Yeah, and it's very different. Like, you're going like place to place and choosing foods to eat, and they have like actual photos of the food from certain restaurants that you eat. So it's trying to like mimic like what it's like being on the road. The craziest thing is they have mini games. So like, they have a one called Penta
Says. Oh, I have
seen
the video. Some of them are amazing. Some of them are terrible.
It's like Bishi Bashi Special. Like, you're doing like Penta's like doing like moves, and it's like and you've got to match it like boom. Bum, 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 bum. Like, it's so like that. And so it's got character. It's the weirdest collection of attempts at a wrestling game, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I need to spend more time with it, but I'm just mentioning, because that game is finally out this week. I don't think it's worth the £60-70, because there's different versions of it.
Okay.
Just buyer beware in terms of the state that thing's in for its launch weekend.
So what we've done, ladies and gentlemen, is we've managed to review both Exo Primal and AEW for you before answering any of your questions. I hope you enjoyed those two. Those were two videos we provided for free, mate.
Some hot content.
The value that you will be getting on the UBP, the UBP, the UBP.
The UBP. So yes, this is the Entitled Banter Podcast, where we take your latest questions, talking points, whatever you'd like us to talk about, as much as we can get through.
I would actually like to say, by the way, I think that we should change our intro, so it should be like, we take your latest questions and answer them, and then I should say, or you should say, do we? And then that should be the intro.
Do we really? We do get there when we finally do address a question, which, speaking of which, question from Lord Koala Camp. Actually, I'll do an apology, because I was supposed to put another UBP tweet out yesterday.
Oh, right.
And we had so much going on over WhatCulture/Future Towers that there was no time. So I went back into the take trough and got various questions from previous weeks.
Okay, legend.
Which are always great. The gold standard from the community, so it's awesome. The question from Lord Koala Kanth, who says, greetings. The sheer number of people on social media coming out and trying to convince me that The Flash is brilliant has made me a little more suspicious of it, if nothing else. Where are you guys at with the movie?
Oh, like,
Flash is weird, man.
Every superhero movie at the moment is just not interested me. I think I've said this before, but just after Endgame, I just had a rapid decline in interest. I was so burnt out, and I haven't actually found that sort of ignition switch being ignited again. The Guardians of the Galaxy films were close to that, because they have been a self-contained storyline that I've enjoyed all the way through. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I've not found anything to really grab onto, because it just seems that they tried to go for size and spectacle over story. Like, I wanted Doctor Strange to be good, but that was not the way for me. I wanted the Scarlet Witch? No, that was the same one, wasn't it?
That was Multiverse of Madness.
There's a few of them that come out, and the only one that's really pulling my attention at the moment has been the new Into the Spider-Verse stuff. Like, that is the benchmark now of where I want superhero films to be. Personal tales told with imagination being at the forefront, rather than just being like, look, we have a CGI budget, let's just blow it on looking cool. And it's like, no, you have to have substance behind your style.
The other day, someone leaked all of The Flash on Twitter, because they freed up the Twitter video length thing. I think if you pay for like the top tier thing on Twitter, you can put anything on there. So
it's become a weird, worse version of YouTube.
Kind of, okay, yeah, cool. If you pay for it. But yeah, so like someone put all of the Flash on there. So I did watch about 20 minutes of it, about half an hour of it on there. Because it's such a weird thing. The CG looks terrible. A lot of the way that the compositing just looks terrible. That desert scene looks abysmal.
Yeah.
Looks like we just got to put a green screen behind us and filmed it that way. Like it looks bad. But I watched a bit of it. I think it's almost so bad it's good, but it's not going to hold me for 2 hours.
Are we entering like Ghost Rider territory?
Sadly not, although I think
that was really fun because of how sort of like it just didn't take itself too seriously, or it did, but it was Nicolas Cage, so you can't, sort of thing.
I felt like that got worse and worse as that movie went on.
Oh, it did.
But I think, yeah, with The Flash, I was like, I'm curious about Michael Keaton, but he's CG for most of it anyway in the fight scene, so it's like, what's the point?
Why?
There's a very rubbery Keaton just going at various Kryptonians or whatever they are, and it's not a good look.
I'm so confused, though. So... hang about, because obviously Michael Keaton was Batman, and then he came back to be like an older version of Batman. He's done like a few cameo bits here and there. Yep. Are you telling me that he's now, and he was also in Marvel films as like Spider-Man's The Vulture?
Yes.
So now he's flip-flopped again, and he's back in DC with The Flash.
Yeah, do you not watch the trailers? He's the main character.
No, but this is the thing. I just haven't been interested in it. That's how little interest that I've had in this thing, that I didn't even know that someone... he was a part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like the whole thing is like Flash like goes back in time, breaks the world, breaks the universe, and fractures a bunch of the timelines. And in whatever timeline he ends up in, he meets himself. So there's two Ezra Millers, and then he meets Michael Keaton's Batman. But it's not the same Michael Keaton's Batman as the 1989 one. It's just a different one.
Right.
But
okay.
It's just,
now it's I'm just him. So that was the project I was getting confused with then, because again, that just shows you how little like I've had interest in it. Like for some reason I thought he was in Robert Pattinson's version. I don't know what's going on in my brain at the moment.
It's Michael Keaton is I mean, the thing is, he went from Batman to Birdman and back to Batman again, so he's just
bizarre.
He's getting around, but yeah, Flash is a bit of a mess. Question from Tim John Blake, who says, hello from Stryer, which I googled and it is Australia. Hopefully the death of live services, do we think GTA 6 will still be following the GTA Online model, or will it go back to the single player glory?
Oh man, bless you for thinking that death of live service models. A lot of projects are failing, that is true, but for every hedge you cut off of this Hydra, two are coming. This is the Hercules animated film midsection point. We are unfortunately only going to see more and more of this, because as costs spiral for video game developers and publishers, they're going to look to make back that money as quickly as possible. And the biggest way that they do that is by locking you into their game so that they can then sell you microtransactions further down the line. It's a very risky move nowadays, but because the market is saturated with games as a live service. There are too many games for you to actually play to keep spinning on those plates. They're going to all drop off at some point, but they're going to keep bloody trying. And unfortunately, a few of them are going to stick just enough to keep cycling through their money stuff. And it's bad times. So yeah, I don't think that it's going to go anywhere soon. But I do think that GTA 6 is going to be just GTA Online first and foremost, because it is such a cash cow that they would be such idiots to sacrifice it.
Well, they've got GTA Online is its own live service. Like in terms of like they have that GTA Plus thing. Like I keep forgetting that exists, but you can pay a monthly fee to get a GTA membership. So I think they'll probably carry that stuff over. I mean, the stuff that leaked a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, whatever it was, did seem to show like a worthwhile story mode. But like, it's always the thing with GTA where most of the staff writers, the head writers have left now anyway. Like Dan Houser is not at Rockstar anymore.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like, so I guess it'll be whatever it turns into.
Like, how do you write a single player storyline knowing that that is not going to be the actual selling point of your game in terms of the bottom line? Like, I genuinely think that what we'll see are integrated online elements into the single player. There will not be such a thing as a single player storyline anymore. I think, well, like, Red Dead Redemption 2 was the last hurrah, and it felt like that in every possible sense. This was the death of the storyteller in the same way that it was the death of the cowboy. So this will be going forward aimed at getting you online all the time. It will be like heists will be front and foremost. It will be like your player character will be told that they can hire people in to help them with jobs. They'll be saying, do you want to take this online all the time? And I genuinely think that you'll probably get like 3 or 4 single player missions that are truly solo, and every other thing will be like, bring in a buddy, co-op this, get this in. It will be focused around bringing people together to do stuff.
I wonder if they do the thing that like Diablo has, where it's a single player game, but it needs the server connection, because that game went offline last Sunday, like all day long, because they were doing various, it got DDoS attacks or whatever. I do not envy the people who have to make the next Grand Theft Auto when like all the lead creatives have left. Like, Sam Hauser's still there, but he was largely still the money guy. He was like the business guy.
Obviously,
and
his brother Dan Hauser is wrestling. So, Dan Hausen,
Oh my God. I was like, what? I thought of like Dan Riker. He got me. I thought of Dan Riker, the ex WWE guy, for a second. I was like, oh, is there a wrestler I've missed? But still, yeah, I think that like the way that they have to try and bring it together, there's so much pressure, there's so much money on it, and they've said it's nowhere near complete and everything else. But yeah, I kind of agree with Jules that it'll be some sort of hybrid model, but at the same time, it would benefit them to keep them separate. Some people only want offline GTA, including me.
Yeah, but
and that's definitely the thing,
like
the old school.
People want that. Don't get me wrong. I had so much fun playing the single player games of GTA 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2, but I just can't see it happening because it's a smaller percentage of people who did that. The amount of people online playing GTA 5 right now are probably more people than ever completed the single player story. You know what I mean?
Like, totally.
It's such a small percentage that they have less and less incentive to actually even provide you with a single player story.
Oh, totally. That was always like the thing when the footage started leaking and it was single player, being like, oh, okay, at least they're actually doing something that would be classified as a single player story. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think that is still years away. I mean, it's 10 years this year since GTA 5.
The worst thing that they could do, though, is sell you like there is some sort of big single player narrative, but it's just kind of like a prologue and an epilogue thing where basically you start off, you learn the basics, and then it says, welcome to Vice City, and then everyone spawns in, and then you've got absolute chaos going on, and it's like,
maybe.
Oh, damn it.
It's like, yeah, because like you said, if they pepper in various heists or whatever, those like the bank robbery stuff that they showed in the leaks, and then that becomes this hybrid multiplayer thing, but they've trained you to how to do how you would do, then do it online. Maybe that's how things go. Question from JP, who says, so far this year, I've had more fun with indie titles, Dredge has taken over my life, than AAA games. It's a great game. It leads me to this, are we coming to another golden age of indie games?
Oh, 100%. I have never felt more excited by upcoming indie games than I have in years at this point. I actually did a list over on the Future Games Show, plug, is going to detail 2 games that were of great interest to me that are coming out very soon. And one of them is called Pacific Drive, where it is, you are given a car that you need to keep in good shape, and you need to drive into the center of an anomaly on a road that constantly is full of enemies and other sort of like with strange occurrences. You don't know why it's happening or what this sort of alien or potential like ethereal threat is, but you've got to keep your car going. And so you've got to stop to repair it, get resources, upgrade it, and do stuff like that. And so it's kind of like a survival horror meets a roguelike. It's really bizarre.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, really, really cool.
Like, the whole Golden Age thing, I don't think the Golden Age went away. I feel like the get as many consistent, like, I mean, Dredge is the one that's turning a lot of heads, and it should. It's justifiable. But I feel like if you like mechanical gameplay variation, you just like things that play differently, and you're sick of the AAA space, the indie space has been that for the last 10 years, like, and a little bit more than that, but in terms of when we started referring to them as indie games. Stuff that's coming up, something that you guys showed off at the Future Games stream thing, Resistor, I think it's called, like the cel-shaded Mad Max thing. I'm a sucker for anything where I can sideswipe vehicles and watch them fly away or whatever, and that thing looked like a burnout cel-shaded Mad Max thing.
Yeah, I'm very keen for that.
It's always the thing with, like, with reduced budgets and reduced expectations, they can free up the gameplay side of things. And I think that, for me, it's like, it's things like, I mean, last year was like Call of the Lamb. Like, I've loved Dredge this year as well. Bat Boy's incredible.
Yeah, I feel like it goes back to what we were saying before at the start of the episode, where it's like, because there is so much competition at that, let's just say, double A standard, that you have to come up with such a unique and inventive idea to stand out from the crowd. You can't just be a military first-person shooter that is in the vein of Call of Duty, because you are not doing anything different at that stage. True. You need to say, right, let's take something here, we'll mix something here, create something new. And it's like, there's a game that's just doing the rounds at the moment that my friend Chipmunku-chan showed me. It's called Dave the Diver.
Okay.
It looks really
I've heard of Dave the Diver.
It looks super peaceful and chill. You basically just go down into wrecks and you sort of like fish for treasure and stuff like that in this kind of 2D side scrolling thing. You then take it back, you sell it to your friends, and then you build this island resort and you can go further, dive deeper sort of thing. And it just looks super charming, great gameplay loop, and like one of those perfect, let's just unwind with a game. Even though there is some sort of like platforming and enemy elements to deal with, but it's just unwinding in the sense that not trying to do anything too strenuous.
Okay. There's that game coming out called Among the Waves as well, or Across the Waves, Under the Waves, in August, and they showed that off during, I think it was during the Xbox stream or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a similar thing where you're just sort of like going in amongst wreckage. It looks a bit like Abzu or a bit like Journey.
Did they
and,
have like a female lead singer, like do like a musical act for it? Maybe. Like to promote it. I think
I remember the gameplay more than I remember the audio side of it. But either way though, like it is true that like with the indie side of things are getting more budgets, but it's still hopefully not too much where there's too much expectation. Either way, I like the idea of the gameplay variety kind of thing that we're getting. Final question, I think, because we're running a bit tight in the studio I'm in. From RB, who says, what gaming franchises do you love except for one or a few parts? I love the Like a Dragon series, but I'm currently struggling with number 7, the RPG one. I like RPGs, but I have a tough time with difficulty spikes, and I keep having to get good.
Yeah, I am totally in the same boat with you, my friend, when it comes to the XCOM series. There are some titles in there that I love more than any future children that I may potentially have, because I am so enamored with the likes of XCOM Enemy Unknown, Enemy Within, and XCOM 2 especially. But then they dropped an absolute clanger with Chimera, and then they did the Legends mobile game, and it's like, it's so hard nowadays for me to state I'm a proud XCOM fan without somebody laughing behind my back and being like, oh yeah, great mobile game you've got there.
When was the last time it was great? I mean, Enemy Within was, oh my god, 2014 or something?
War of the Chosen, the expansion pack for XCOM 2, I still think is the tip top of strategy games.
I still need to play that.
Love that game so much, even if it bloody well hates me. But it's so hard to be like, you have to do that sort of thing with the caveats. Like, oh, I love XCOM, but I only love it from this point and before. Like, anything afterwards, nah, sort of thing.
Did you play Phoenix Point? Like, the thing that the creator guy made?
Yeah, Julian Gossip created that one. And I tell you what, mate, it's brilliant. It's very different in terms of, you've got to like shoot off armor points before you can deal damage to the actual foe. The setting creates some very interesting environmental hazards and stuff like that. The game is potentially a bit too dark on the color palette for my taste. Like, you do get very sort of like, it's a lot of brown and beige and dark and dank. And it's like, okay, can we have a bit of color, please? At least XCOM knew when to spice things up. But as a atmospheric game, fantastic. It really pushes horror more than it does
The old horror.
Yeah, it's a good game. Very good game.
It's a weird thing because like over the years, like Firaxis did Midnight Suns, and that Gossip guy. Me too. And it's like that lead dude went off and did Phoenix Point. So I'm like, do we ever get like an XCOM 3? Or is that just not possible now?
Well, XCOM Legends, unfortunately, is raking it in. I don't like it, it's ticking a lot of boxes for people. It's the thing that I hate the most about it is the fact that XCOM has always been about you having you're on the back foot. The aliens are already pushing you back all the time. They have these superior weaponry, these superior tactics. Mm-hmm. And in this game, it's just like, oh, do you want to unlock this legendary loot piece that gives you like an auto-kill plasma gun or a piece of armor that reflects damage back at your enemies? It's like, no, right. You've taken the core concept of what XCOM is and you've just turned it into another militaristic shooter against aliens. It's just bad.
Having the loot component side to XCOM is kind of, it's just... Dumb. Sounds funny because I'm so like, do you have like a piece of armor that just gives 100% success rate every time?
Oh,
it was always the percentage stuff in that game.
Probably.
It just gets through all of it.
I remember just looking at some footage because I had to do some research into it to see how bad it's gotten, even within its own game thing. And it was just like, the footage was of like a team where they were all wearing like bright gold neon armor. Every weapon they had was max upgraded beyond that you could ever get in XCOM 2. Right. They had like... auto shielding, they had auto reflecting damage, and I was just like, oh man, I'm getting a big whiff of Final Fantasy All the Bravest off of this, because you are not playing this game anymore. You are just basically going through a win simulator.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, the systems are just playing you at that point, trying to extract as much money or as much time out of you as possible.
What's yours though?
I've actually forgot the question.
What franchise do you love apart from a few entries? Because, I mean, how do you feel about the Yakuza series being dragged under the bus by this comment? Because I know that you're a huge fan.
I'm a massive fan of Yakuza or Like a Dragon. I don't know. It's weird. I've made my peace with the fact that they reuse the same environment over and over and over and over again. Yeah. I definitely realized that it was getting tired when even we did the new spin-off Judgment and it was the same environment again. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of made my peace with that, and it made me kind of love the fact that the environment is the character there. I do agree that Yakuza 7, Like a Dragon, I couldn't get on board with that either. That was the thing where I love turn-based combat, but in that game, it just literally felt like you were taking the combat model of the previous games and then making that turn-based as opposed to making a turn-based system.
I heard
and
that so, it was good, but it was just basically was like, we're doing this to change it because it's the least thing you would expect, sort of thing.
Yeah, and like some of the cutaway animations and like the little mini cutscenes are really funny and hilarious and whatever. That's the best stuff about it. Yeah. But there was so many times when I was like fighting an enemy on a busy street because it's the same kind of game engine as before.
Oh, you'd run into a pedestrian. Yeah.
Yeah, you tell your dude, oh, do a charge attack, and then like an NPC just walks in front of them and then it cancels the attack. And it's like, no, I still, because then I've still got to wait like until another turn, and then so many moves would get affected by the environment.
Oh,
where
please,
I was like, this is terrible.
Please, man, can we do a future game show? What culture collaboration? Games that made you look like a mug.
Times that games just murked you.
Yeah,
to death.
Exactly.
It's just like, that was the thing where I was like, oh, so I mean, I love turn-based combat. I love strategizing and planning in advance and character builds and everything else. But if you're gonna just cut me off when I'm trying to play the game, if I can't actually just do the combat stuff, then I definitely back that. I don't know. I don't think I have a thing where I'm like, a certain entries put me off. Maybe Final Fantasy. I mean, I'm playing through 16 at the minute.
Yeah.
And when I think back, am I
questionable ones, isn't there?
Then, yeah, that's the thing. Like 13, me and you both agree 13 was like abysmal. Every couple of years, I go back to 13 and try again, and the combat is just so bad. Yes. Like, I put like a couple of hours into it this time, and I was like, oh my God, it never changes. It just automates itself. So I might go Final Fantasy. That thing has a bit of a rocky trajectory, even though the majority of the installments are solid. I'm just finishing 6 now as well. I'm finally going through that.
I tell you what, man, the 13 entry point for Final Fantasy is just one of my least favorite but funniest to go through, because it's just like the devs are there. They're like, we got this sick new character. She's going to be the new Cloud. She's got a cool attitude. You're going to play us all the way through. And it's like, oh, fans don't like the combat system or the story. It's very confusing. Oh, okay, don't worry. We'll have a second go around. We'll take her out of it, the one thing that people did actually like from it, and we'll make her like some unobtainable figure at the end, and we'll add in a brand new combat mechanic and this thing where you've got like Pokemon catching and timey-wimey shenanigans, and everyone's like, yeah, we kind of like that. But again, the plot is near complete gibberish at this point. Uh-huh. And also, there's not really much to keep us going towards the end point. Okay, fine. No. We'll have a third game, and then she'll be the main character this time, and it'll be more sort of like a Majora's Mask, more like action-heavy game. It's like, okay, what's the story? Don't know, mate. You'll have to play the previous two games to have a clue of what's going on here. Oh, so
it's
not...
Like-
Not a
13 like
point.
Has its fans, and like the people who love 13 like love 13, and I get that that's probably what you played when you were growing up, and that was maybe that was your first ever Final Fantasy. Maybe you genuinely do really like it. I personally can't see the value in it, and like you said, the story is the thing that is the most off-putting. All the falsy stuff, and we're talking about gods
and
whatever.
I just want to tell people, it's like, if you like 13, fair enough, I ain't going to judge, even if you are mad. But at the end of the day, go play Final Fantasy 10, because that is what Final Fantasy 13 desperately wanted to be but could never achieve. Now, I'm not even that hot on Final Fantasy 10.
Even the end of 10 is like crazy.
But I'd say that at least that gives you everything that you're looking for from Final Fantasy 13 in a much more understandable way and with much more likable characters.
Yeah, I would massively back that. I mean, I like Snow, like Troy Baker's Snow, but I definitely think 10 is like is way better. Yeah. Like side by side, definitely. But yeah, as a franchise, very ups and downs. I'm loving 16, so I guess I can champion that.
Good old Clive bringing it back.
Good old Clive Rosfield and his partner Jill and just his mate Rodney and Gav. They're doing really
Rodders.
Well. Rodders and the Geordie man Gav. Shout out to him. But yeah, for now, this has been the Entitled Battle Podcast. The UBP. I've been Scott Tilford. That's been Jules Gill.
I have indeed. And remember, next Thursday, we promise we'll put out the call for questions where you can submit all your questions, video game, TV, film, or food related, anything else in between as well.
Yeah.
Go check us out on the social medias. I am at RetroJ, but the is a zero, and Scott is at /LP89 over on Twitter.
Beautiful. Once again, thank you all very much, and we'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.